Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2059 with a release date of Friday, April 14, 2017 follows in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A young amateur reports back from his first de-expedition. Hams get busy with Marconi Day and the anniversary of Samuel Morse's birthday. And we give you a preview of contesting at Hamvention. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2059 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's only independent weekly amateur radio news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Picayune, Mississippi, here is Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week with the story of ham radio at its best. It's the tale of a dramatic and emotional reunion played out in India after a local amateur radio club helped a lost and injured young man find his way back home to his worried family a good distance away. Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
It took a month of searching, but a 25-year-old man who had been separated from his family during a religious fair in India was reunited with them with the help of an amateur radio club. The young man had been hospitalized with head injuries when Ambarish Nag Biswas, secretary of the West Bengal Radio Club, heard about his situation from Kolkata's health officer. Biswas told the Hindu newspaper that the man was hardly able to speak. With the help of an interpreter, they learnt his name and that his family is from the Vellore district. They also learnt he ended up in Kolkata by mistake. He was lost. The amateur radio club put word out about him and distributed his photo on social media and in video. Kolkata police helped in the search and 1 month later, the man and his family were reunited, first by phone, then by bringing the family to Kolkata. Biswas told the newspaper, and I quote, "The idea is to put this radio into best use," end quote. And what better purpose than this? For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Hospitals exist to help us, but who's out there helping the hospitals? Hams, of course. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, with the story of one such special effort.
Emergency communications are a big part of what amateur radio is and why it remains relevant in today's connected world. One critical area is emergency healthcare, where many providers are turning to amateur radio as a backup. Andy Finnick, W9FXT, has been involved in setting up amateur radio backup systems for hospitals in Northwest Indiana for almost 20 years.
I got involved in 1998 when St. Margaret's Hospital in Hammond, Indiana wanted some emergency communications. So I put a repeater up there. And ever since then it grew. I put another repeater up there. They were real helpful. They gave me a nice climate room to put it in, put a cage, put emergency power, put a phone line. And then about 2007, they hired a man who was the bioterrorism director. By then, things were starting to happen. And we started out with about 10 or 12 people, some local law enforcement, sheriff, police chief, and other agencies. It was just a small group of us. And it grew and grew until the point where it became District 1. There is 10 districts in the state of Indiana.
Eventually, the system involved more than just on-site repeaters.
What I was told that the state and federal government mandated amateur radio for backup emergency communications. So we start installing radio stations also in there besides repeaters. One reason we install them at the hospital, so any licensed amateur can walk in there and operate that station.
I asked Finnick if there were any special requirements to volunteer for his group.
We don't refuse any help, but we would like them to join RACI so that we have a structure to it. But anybody that wants to help out, please do.
If you are in the Northwest Indiana area and want to get involved, or if you want more information on how you can start a similar program in your area, you can contact Andy via email at w9fxt@sbcglobal.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Scouts are busy on the radio again this week, and there's even a fun code competition thrown into the mix. For more details on that, let's hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in radio scouting, we have one activation of the K2BSA call sign and one activation from scout camps on the air. Ben Kuo, KK6FUT, will be the control operator for the K2BSA Portable 6 station at the Ventura County Council Conejo Valley District Camporee in Moore Park, California on April 22nd and 23rd. This is the third activation of the camp by the ham radio operators from the Conejo Valley Amateur Radio Club. In the spirit of Boy Scout Camporees, where scouts compete to show off their scouting skills, the group is sponsoring a competition for scouts to decode a message in Morse code to win a blister pack of FRS radios and an ARRL technician license manual. Ben, who has been organizing the event and regularly works with scouts as a scout leader and a radio merit badge counselor, said that surprisingly, one of the parts of ham radio which attracts the most interest from scouts is Morse code. Although it is no longer required for a license, the scouts have an enormous interest in decoding and sending Morse code, even more than talking on the radio. After last year's events, scouts were sending Morse code messages by flashlight all over the camp, and scouts were specifically coming to the group's tent to learn about Morse code. Last year, the group showed off ham radio to the over 600 participants in the camporee, with 65 scouts decoding their first Morse code message and entering the contest, and helping dozens of scouts make contacts on the air. The group is hoping to do the same this year with another Morse code contest and first contacts for scouts. The group plans to be on HF on 20 meters, 40 meters, 15 meters, and 10 meters, primarily on phone and digital, depending on band conditions, and on local VHF repeaters. Robert Swain, W5APO, will be the control operator for a special event station W0 Alpha at the Southern Area 4 Section Order of the Arrow Conference hosted by Utoye Hati Lodge at the Sandhills Scout Reservation in Brooksville, Florida on April 22nd. The event will host close to 1,000 scouters and scouts and will be a great opportunity to show off amateur radio. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Does ham radio leave you cold? Well, it did for one youngster from North Carolina who got back recently from his first de-expedition to Iceland. Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, spoke with him.
Mason Matrezo of Clemens, North Carolina, was on the air from Iceland as TF/KM4SII in the middle of March. This was his first de-expedition. He took along a buddy stick, an FT-450, and 25 feet of coax on a trip to Iceland with his mother. Mason is just 14 years old. Mason explains the difficulties he ran into operating on the trip.
Mother Nature was none too kind during this expedition, and I only got really one day where I could get the antenna set up the whole time we were there. Maybe actually, technically speaking, two. But there's a bunch of problems.
Problems getting an antenna mounted outside the hotel and extreme weather conditions definitely got in his way. Mason wasn't happy with the amount of contacts he was able to get, but he still had a great time and learned a lot.
I managed to work 15 countries, and it was only like, I don't know, 20-something, maybe no more than 25 QSOs. It was very painful, I'll say, when you're trying to work somebody through S9, S9 plus 10 noise. So I couldn't actually hear if a frequency was clear very easily, but fortunately I had internet access, so I got on one of the online SDRs in Europe and found a clear spot and just started calling CQ there, and eventually I got spotted by someone in Russia and I got some callers. It was slow going, but I did manage to pull some of them out of the S9 noise. So that was the first night. And the second night I was on the air, it was a little bit late and the band had gone really long and funky and I wasn't getting any callers coming back to my CQ, at least those that were audible. So I just spent the rest of the night in search and pounce mode.
Mason plans on trying another de-expedition soon.
Like I said, this is the first time I've ever been internationally, so it was a good first time. Next time I'm hoping that I operate one as I'll get a quieter location into warmer location. I think somewhere tropical would be good next because it was cold.
And Mason, I can't blame you for that. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Speaking of young hams, this is just another reminder that the deadline approaches to nominate a candidate for Amateur Radio Newsline's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Do you know someone who particularly impresses you? Nominations are open to amateurs 18 or younger who reside in the United States, its possessions, or any Canadian province. This is Amateur Radio Newsline's commitment to honoring young, talented radio operators. Find application forms on our website at arnewsline.org under the YHOTY tab. The award will be presented on August 19th at the Huntsville Hamfest in Alabama. Visit our website for details. Nominations close May 31st, and that date is coming up fast. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W2GLD repeater in Pinckney, Michigan, Saturdays at 8 p.m. local time. Are you up to date on your radio history? If you are, you'll remember that Marconi Day is coming, and that's as good a reason as any to get on the air, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
International Marconi Day is not a contest, but a global tribute. Organised by the Cornish Amateur Radio Club, it's about as close as any radio operator can get these days to having the Marconi experience. On the 22nd of April, which will be the 21st of April in the United States, hams are encouraged to get on the HF bands and make as many contacts as possible with the dozens of stations that have registered as so-called award stations. This is the 30th International Marconi Day, and it will include the participation of a number of special event stations celebrating Guglielmo Marconi's birth on the 25th of April 1874. Participation is in two categories, for transmitting amateurs completing contacts with 15 of the official award stations, and for shortwave listeners logging two-way communications made by 15 of those stations. Award stations include the Kerry Amateur Radio Club in Ireland, operating as EI6YXQ at the former Marconi station site at Ballybunion. In Binghamton, New York, in the United States, operators can listen for special event station K2M. The Binghamton site is where Marconi demonstrated in 1913 that communication was possible with a fast-moving train. The site contains the remaining tower Marconi used. Other North American stations with links to Marconi's historic work include Cape Cod in Massachusetts, operating as WA1WCC, and KM1CC, and Nova Scotia as VE1IMD. Of course, in the UK, the Cornish Met Club's members will also be operating using the call sign GB4IMD. Cornwall was where Marconi did much of his formative work. Marconi himself might appreciate this event as a day that should be filled with big discoveries. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
For a little more radio history, head to New York State's Hudson Valley, where dots and dashes are taking center stage, or at least the front porch. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
The Samuel Morse Estate in New York's Hudson Valley was the summer home of the noted inventor and 19th century telegrapher. The historic house and grounds known as Locust Grove is marking the 227th anniversary of Morse's birth by doing the very thing Morse himself made possible, communicating in code. On April 29th, the Hudson Valley QSY Society will be operating in CW from the porch of the old house, making radio contacts in Morse code to demonstrate to the public how effective a mode it still is. Guests at the home will also be welcome to visit the historic home's telegraph gallery, which contains reproductions of early electromagnetic telegraphs similar to those developed and used by Morse. Locust Grove is located in Poughkeepsie, New York, and the event, which is free, begins at 10 a.m. Visit the website at lgny.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Are you ready for Dayton Hamvention? This year, of course, it's in Xenia, Ohio, but there's one big contest activity that's still happening in Dayton in a suite of hotel rooms. It just got a fresh new website to boot. We learn more from Amateur Radio Newsline Stephen Kinford, NAWB.
Scott, KA9FOX has already been more preoccupied than most of us with this year's Dayton Hamvention, with good reason. He's just launched the new website that showcases one of the hottest events being run in conjunction with this year's event in Xenia, Ohio. It's the Contest Super Suite, hosted by the Mad River Radio Club, North Coast Contesters, and the Frankfurt Radio Club. Find all the contest action in the Harding, McKinley, Garfield, and Harrison rooms of the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dayton on Wednesday the 17th of May through Saturday the 20th. This is a contest event that's going to have everything on it, just like some of the pizza being served each evening. And on Friday night at 10 p.m., expect yet another Hamvention quality performance by the Spurious Emission Band. So if you can't wait to visit Hamvention, you can at least visit the website now at www.contestsupersuite.com. Be sure to look under the tab for contest-related events to see more related activities. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinfort, N8WB.
In the world of DX, Helmut DJ7CF is using the call sign 6Y5 stroke DJ7CF from Greenwood, Jamaica until April 28th. Be listening for him on SSB, CW, and PSK31. QSLs go via his home call. Between the 21st and 28th of April, be listening for operators David, OK6DJ, and Peter, OK1FCJ, using the call sign 5V7P from Lome in Togo. Find them on 160 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and the digital modes. Send QSL cards via OK6DJ, Club Logs OQRS, or Logbook of the World. In the Galapagos Islands, listen for Tim, LW9EOC, who will be on the air from May 15th through the 29th as HC8-LW9EOC. He'll be on Isabella Island, active on 160 through 6 meters with an emphasis on 30, 17, and 12 using SSB, CW, and RTTY. Send QSL cards via his home call sign, direct, or logbook of the world. And we end this week's newscast with a story of ham readiness. Hams, as we all know, are accustomed to being prepared. We assist in marathons and half marathons. We provide communications safety nets at boating events, hiking events, and cycling events. So in Maldon, England, where the Essex Raynet was called in to assist at a fundraising fun run at Maldon's Promenade Park, the hams there were prepared. After all, not every amateur gets to assist at a mad dash through a fortress of colored bubbles. Actually, there were four such bubble stations, and as the runners came charging through each, streams of colored bubbles were shot in their direction, the thick lather rising as high as 4 feet. It was the hottest day of the year so far, Sunday, April 9th, and an estimated 1,000 runners nonetheless turned up to raise money for a local hospice. The event was sold out, and with the help of Essex Raynet and its UHF repeater, it was proclaimed a great success. No doubt organizers who worked so hard got a chance to celebrate afterwards. Maybe they even broke out a bit of the bubbly. With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Cornish Amateur Radio Club, Essex Raynet, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hindu Newspaper, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, Locust Grove Historic Estate, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Tim Duffy, K3LR, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights are reserved.